Well, it's my honor, folks, to have Chris Lowe and Neil Tennant from the legendary Pet Shop Boys with me today. I guess I can say legendary because it's been like 40 years at this point.
It's 40. Hello, Todd, by the way. Hello, Salt Lake City. This is Neil from the Pet Shop Boys. Yeah, it's 40 years this month since our first single, Western Girls, was released. Not the hit version, the original version.
The one, the old Bobcat label that I just spent too much money to acquire from eBay.
There you go. You know a lot about this stuff, don't you?
Oh, yes. My God. Well, so I'm a lifelong fan, so hopefully I can keep that controlled during the process.
Still be the case at the end of this interview.
I think we'll be fine. So my first introduction to Pet Shop Boys music came when I was in high school, and one of the kids in my class did a dance routine, and it was to the 12-inch mix of Opportunities, which I'd never heard on U.S. radio at all. And so I had to track that down, and ever since I got that, I've been a fan ever since. Then West End Girls came out in America, and 40 years later, you're still recording. And I have to say, I've had a chance to spend a little bit of time with the new album, nonetheless, that comes out on the 26th of April. There are some of my favorite Pet Shop Boys songs ever on this new record.
Oh, wow, thank you. Which ones?
Well, the one that stood out to me, because I'm always a sucker for the nice orchestral and symphonic sort of moody tracks like King's Cross and It Couldn't Happen Here. So the one that got my attention is A New Bohemia. I think lyrically and musically.
Good choice.
Tell us about that. How did some of these songs like that come about?
Well, all the songs of the album came about during the COVID lockdown period. And we were in different places. And Chris persuaded me to learn how to program, which I'd never done before, using the GarageBand function on my computer. And one day, Chris sent over this track he'd written, which he called Avant-Garde. And I thought it sounded very sort of French, which I still think actually. And I had this idea for a lyric about, how great it is to be part of a sort of bohemian art scene, which we were sort of a bit in the 90s, but not so much now. And so it's really truthful saying I'm looking for a new bohemia, because it's a great feeling to be part of a group of people who all got similar kind of creative objectives and aims, and that's really, and it this seemed to fit Chris's music, and it's quite a heartfelt, I mean, it's a very heartfelt melody, and the lyric is quite heartfelt too, really. And it also, for some reason, when we worked with James Ford, the producer on this album, we realized one of the reasons we worked with him is because we realized we were probably gonna have an orchestra on every track, which we hadn't done for years. And James did this, produced the band The Last Shadow Puppets. Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys is in it. And that's like sort of 60s-inspired orchestral pop. And that's one of the reasons we worked with James. And he does, and all the way through the album, he's done with a friend of his, the most beautiful string arrangements, orchestral arrangements. And it's particularly beautiful on this. And James actually wrote the outro when it goes to brass and strings. It reminds me of Witched Alignment by
Glen Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's sort of similar vibe to Witched Alignment, which is, a holy grail kind of record anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I grew up on my parents played a lot of old classic Glen Campbell, so I can appreciate some of that older country stuff like that. Another track that just has just some like brilliant symphonic moment, and it's almost like a movie score, this whole album, but New London Boy was another one that caught my attention.
Yeah, now New London Boy again started off with the track Chris wrote, when Chris sent it to me again, I thought, oh God, this is so, it actually brought tears to my eyes, the chorus. It's just so sort of, it's got such a song sense of longing, I think, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, when David Bowie first started on his first solo album, there's a song called The London Boys. And that was about David Bowie when he was a teenager being a mod and hanging around the West End of London. And when I was a teenager, I moved from Newcastle down to London, and it was in the glam rock period. And I came down with two friends from Newcastle, and we hung around the West End of London. But that was the glam rock period of David Bowie and Mark Bolan, etc. And so I just had this idea for a song called New London Boy, which is me. and about hanging around in London, that feeling, you know, when you're growing up and what you're going to do and what you want to do and what you want to be. And it's just expressing all of that, really.
Some of those iconic, you know, glam rock tracks from that era, like Bowie. I mean, how can you not be just continually influenced by those through your whole entire life?
Well, to be 17, 18 when they were coming out, you know, like Metal Guru by T-Rex, Life on Mars by David Bowie, or Starman maybe is a better choice by David Bowie, Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. Also, at that time, we started to go to clubs, and we used to go to a gay club in London, and they played the full-length Popper Was a Rolling Stone by the Temptations. The first 12-inch mix I ever heard in my life. And in this was quite a sort of upmarket club, very expensive, and they had a fantastic sound system, a sort of light-up dance floor, you know, it was 1973. And Popper's Rolling Stone and Walk on the Wild Side, they played them both sound unbelievable, really, really unbelievable.
The record, you know, you mentioned you had an orchestra pretty much on every song, and you definitely do. Are there any notable guest performers that are involved other than the orchestras?
No,
it's just us. James Ford's done all the. He's reprogrammed all of our parts using analog synths, and he also plays real drums on a couple of tracks.
New Bohemia.
He also plays. Actually, he's incredibly talented. He plays bass, all sorts of weird little instruments that are tucked away in the studio.
Yeah,
he's quite something. So it's basically just us and him making the record.
You know, and he just came off of doing the most recent Depeche Mode record, which kind of like this record, I feel like when I play Nonetheless all the way through, it reminds me of an album that, I mean, there's a lot of new territory on it, of course, but it feels like it could have come out right after, like, Actually, or, you know, somewhere in that early 90s era of Pet Shop Boys. It's got a lot of familiar sounds to my ears. You know, and I came into it during the first two or three records, so those are the holy grails for you know, I was like 15 years old. So I hear a lot of that in this new record. Is that intentional? Am I hearing things?
No. Rather than use a lot of samples, James has got, you know, original old drum machines and he's got the original synthesizers. And a lot of those would have been used by us back then, so that's probably why some of the sounds do sound familiar. But they're great because they're very authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very pleasing to listen to it as just an entire piece. It's almost like a movement, like a movie score, kind of an album. But you know, there's dancey stuff, like Loneliness, for example. That was the first one from the new record that I heard, and I'm going to go a little retro on this. But when I first heard that, it immediately reminded me of In the Night.
Oh, really? Well, remember, the songs are written by the same two people as that.
I would say that's probably why. But, like, it had that sort of same, like, you know, that vibe, that dance beat in it that's, you know.
Got an octave bass line.
Yeah, it has gone
off. It's gone off to bass line.
Actually, didn't have one we wrote it.
No, James put it in.
Yeah.
James put it in.
Actually, we did make it more disco.
We did, yeah.
Is that still a dirty word in America? Probably is.
You know, I take offense to people that will look at the disco and say, oh, I don't like disco, because, you know, you have, everybody has, you know, Nile Rodgers is on everyone's record collection, whether they want to admit it or not, because all these disco things are so influential in what became the electronic movement in the 80s and all the new wave and the alternative stuff that we still enjoy today. So I think it's okay to say disco.
We were told in 1986 that disco was a dirty word in America, so we called our first remix album Disco.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got a copy of that back here, so I'm and totally good with that.
We've done Disco 2, 3, and 4, and I think we're playing number 5 at the moment.
Oh, I love that. So the new record comes out on the 26th. Will there be some touring associated with it? Because I know when Pet Shop Boys goes on tour, it's a big deal. It's a lot of production.
Yeah, well, we've been on a tour on and off for the last 2 years. It's called Dream World. It's a greatest hits tour. And in North America, in the autumn of 2022, we toured with New Order.
Yeah.
called it the Unity Tour, but our part of the Unity Tour was really our Dreamworld show. And we're planning at the moment to bring the Dreamworld show, the full-length show. We didn't do the full-length show. I think we may be coming to America in the spring next year.
I will travel anywhere to see it because it's been about at least a dozen years since I've seen a Pet Shop Boys show proper. So
we played in Salt Lake City many years ago.
We played it, I think, three times.
Have we?
Three times.
Remember when we took our first big production thing there?
Oh, in 1991.
Yeah. Performance.
Yeah.
It was regarded as shocking, I think.
Yeah. Right. That wasn't where, no, that was in New York where they said that the theatre should be fumigated.
Yes, in Radio City.
Oh, God.
The New York Post said the theatre should be fumigated afterwards. Which, I mean, the result.
You can't get a better praise than that, can you?
Yeah.
I remember that show was just epic because there was kind of this like pause, and then I think Neil was way up on top of some part of the thing, and then it went into this like guitar intro to Always On My Mind.
Yes. That was being the encores.
Yeah.
We in that show, we died, and in the encores, we went to heaven. So I was wearing angel wings.
I love it. Oh, my God. Well, I you know, when
you were in bed.
Yes. In separate beds.
Yeah, separate beds. Yes. Nice way to end the show, because actually, I could fall asleep.
Well, you know, hopefully we'll get a date in Salt Lake or near Salt Lake, you know, within traveling distance, because it's worth it to go and see Pet Shop Boys. And, you know, the stuff that I caught from the Dreamworld tour that, you know, was circulating online, my God, it sounds like you guys haven't missed a beat. Like, it's just so good.
Well, you know, it's music. I mean, we work on our live shows with Stuart Price, the producer, who also did our last three albums. We changed the songs a little bit, but they stay true to what they were, but we update the sounds maybe, and we do a lot of segues from one song to another, just keep it fresh. And you know, we've released, I think, almost 50 singles, and we do about 24 of them in this, and it's a great feeling, you know, to have made all these records and just do them one after the other. And also it's great, when the audience knows every song, it gives an incredible energy to the venue and to the audience. It's a really good feeling. It goes down very well in America. It seems to go down well everywhere. And that's why we want to bring it back so you get the whole show next year.
Amazing. Well, nonetheless, we'll be available on the 26th of April. We look forward to a chance to hear all that in person. Gentlemen, thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
Pleasure.
Yeah.